Okay, we are ready. Lessons from wide, broad things. Say, what kind of a message is that? I've just been thinking about rectangles. I've been thinking about length, long things in the Bible. How long is long suffering? How long is long hair? All these different things as you just go through the Bible and look at the word long. And I decided, well, let's just go through the Bible and look at the word wide and see what God has to teach us. And you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what God has to teach us. Father, we do pray for your blessings, that you would help us understand. And we thank you, God, that we have such a preserved Word of God that we could just go through and put a study together like this, Lord. And I do pray you help me preach tonight. Help it be edifying and a blessing to the folks. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Let's just go through and see some things that are wide and broad and see what we can learn from them, all right? We'll start with Deuteronomy chapter 15. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of the gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart, which means you're to have a soft heart toward the poor. Now that's the truly poor, the biblical poor, people that were lame and could not work, people that were blind, and others that were fallen upon hard times through tragedy or circumstance. Nor shut thy hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need, and that which he wanteth. That word wanteth doesn't mean everything he desires. It means all that he needs. So we got a soft heart and a wide hand. A hand that reaches into the pocket and it's not very wide. It's not open very much. It says, well, here's a little bit. A wide hand opens up to do a duty before God. A wide hand. A hand that's not shut. And God has a principle in the Bible. To the degree that you give obediently in all of the realms that He wants you to give, help the poor, take care of your debts, all of these things, help the church, support the ministry, God tells us that His blessings are proportionate to our liberality. You say, well, that's abused. Well, if something's abused, don't take away the principle. Don't go to the other extreme, because people use it, because people are running nonprofit or whatever, these businesses and corporations, and they're making a mockery of Christianity. That doesn't mean that you're to go to this other extreme and say, there's no blessing that God has for me if I help the poor. And so much of our Christian world today, so-called, runs from error right into another error. Just makes a mess of the Bible. Let's just see what God says about this. He says, open wide your hand. Do not shut your hand. Proverbs 14 says, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. But he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Well, we got a blessing here. Somebody gave to the poor, their neighbor, and they're happy. Don't tell me God doesn't bless you for giving. Psalms 41, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Tell me that's not a blessing. If you've got trouble come upon you, you might be the next fellow that's poor. You might be the next fellow without a job. You might be the next fellow in a calamity. Second Corinthians 9 is dealing not with tithes, but with offerings for poor churches that were going through hard times. And it says in 2 Corinthians 9, but this I say, in this context, he which soweth sparingly, and he which soweth, shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully, shall reap also bountifully. Which is as much to say, he that openeth wide his hand, God opens wide his hand. You shut your hand, harden your heart, God does the same. Or at least, you don't want to presume upon God and just assume that he is not going to treat you the same way we have treated others. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The more narrow your hand, the more closed your heart and hand, the more narrow God's response to us in blessing. Or at least we have a principle. Proverbs 19, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given him, will he pay him again? Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. This does not mean that you finance the drug addiction of a dope addict. But it does mean that we have mercy, that we have pity, and we try to help. Especially those that are truly... You know, the Bible says, first do good unto the house of God, the household of God. And then work out, you know. Proverbs 28. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. Well, what in the world does that say? But he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. What in the world does that say? Read Malachi, read Haggai, see what God says about tithing, see what God says about offerings, see what God says about giving to the poor, helping. I have no axe to grind, no agenda. I traveled all night last night and didn't get any sleep. And I said, what would be a good message? And I said, I'm just going to go to the Bible and look everywhere it says about wide and broad, and I'm going to preach on it. Now, just as we ought to open up our hands wide, look for those opportunities. You say, well, I might need this. Well, God already answered that. He says he's able to make all grace abound unto you. He's able to take care of you. We're to trust God. Now, as we continue to go through the Bible, we should not be reluctant to open our mouths wide to ingest, so to speak, wisdom of God. The Bible gives you this analogy as if you're eating. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Job said he has esteemed thy words more than his necessary food. There is a sense in which you are eating God's wisdom. And the Bible says, open your mouth. Open your mouth. Now, wisdom comes through earthly means sometimes. Wise men around you, pastors, parents, teachers. But God can speak through an ass. God can speak through all kinds of folks. Be open for God's wisdom that He's given to you. Don't listen to fools. Don't follow crooked teachers and that type of thing. But listen for God's wisdom. Be ready to hear. I like to see those baby birds, you know, and they know mama bird's coming, and they just open that. I cannot believe how open their mouths become, you know. It's so cute. But they want something to eat. They want to be fed. That's how we ought to be to God. And how much more should we be open to the Scriptures? That's not God speaking through some instrumental means. This is the inspired Word of God. Ooh, we ought to open our mouths and say, feed me, God. Feed me. Listen to what Job says. I was a father to the poor. Okay, we see that. He opens up his hand. And the cause which I knew not, I searched out. I break the jaws of the wicked, and I pluck the spoil out of his teeth. After my words, they spake not again. And my speech dropped upon them. The analogy here is as if Job, when he speaks, it's rain. And the people that he's speaking to is like dry ground that's hungry for the rain to come down upon it. I don't believe he's bragging as much as he's trying to tell folks, this is how I lived. You're falsely accusing me. After my words, they spake not again. My speech dropped upon them. And they waited for me as for the rain. It dropped upon them. And they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. Just as the crops open up, in one sense, for the rain. So they can bear fruit. So the ground can bear fruit. They open their mouth for Job's wisdom. How much more should we open our mouth to be fed by the Holy Spirit in the inspired Word of God? Well, we ought to open your day and say, I'm hungry for the Word of God. I have to have the Word of God. I have to have my spirit fed. I have to open up and I got to be nourished. We have to have nourishment. Most of America is walking around. Oh, they're eating a lot. Don't get me wrong. But they're not being nourished. You're lacking nourishment. It's unbelievable. How many people's lives would change if they'd get around somebody that knows what they're doing and say, man, you give me 6 weeks and do exactly what I say and put in your mouth what I say to put in your mouth. You say, well, I'm not going to let nobody do that. Hey, you ought to try it one day. You ought to try it one day. Say, I'll give it 6 weeks and see what God does in your life. See what God does in your life. Listen to what the psalmist says. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Hey, that's beautiful. You know, there's people who say, well, I'm searching for God's promises today. Praise God for that. Stand on the promises. Look for God's promises. I'm looking for some kind of sweet little thing in the Bible. There's a lot of sweet things in the Bible. Praise God. I'm not mocking that. What I'm mocking is, why don't you look for God's commandments? David is saying, I long, I open my mouth, feed me your commandments. What do you want me to do, God? I remember going to a zoo one time. I couldn't believe it. It was time to feed the crocodiles. Some of you may have been there. I don't know. I never can get that thing out of my mind. I just looked over, and this thing had his mouth all the way open. And he just left it there for 20 minutes. I said, what in the world is this thing doing? He's just sitting there. He's like, oh, he's waiting for that food to be thrown in. He just sat there 20 minutes with his mouth wide open, just waiting for that food. David says, I opened my mouth. I panted. I'm longing for God's commandments. So open your hand wide. Open your mouth wide to be fed by God's truth. Not the world, not the culture. Some people are out here opening their mouths wide and saying, teach me, Satan. Feed me, Satan. Feed me, world. Feed me, flesh. That's just crazy. But now let's contrast opening your mouth in a bad way. You know, I've seen something. It's kind of a pet peeve of mine. But I've noticed. I'm not going to tell you how long I've noticed it. But I've been watching it for a long, long time. And a lot of the young people that end up rebellious, especially the boys, that end up going bad, they walk around with their mouths open. And you'll see them first start going wrong around 13. And that mouth gets wider and wider and wider to pretty soon they're walking around, they can't shut their mouth. I've seen it with all types of people, all types of backgrounds. It's almost like a sign to me. There's that boy, man, he can't shut his mouth. Dude, what's flying in your mouth? How come you never shut your lip? How come you never... He's not opening his mouth to try to get something from God. An open mouth, when it's not to get something from God or to speak for God, can be a really bad thing. The Bible says a fool is known before he even opens his mouth. You can already tell he's a fool. Before anything can come out, you already know, this fellow's foolish, man. You want to have righteous judgment, but sometimes you can tell by how somebody walks. You can tell by how somebody looks. The proud look that they got. I won't go off on this anymore, but let's move on. I want to show you this. Psalms 35. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. God, defend me. Fight against them that fight against me. We forget that this is a song. We forget they sat around and sang this. David says, I got a new song. They said, oh, it's probably about somebody fighting with you. David says, hey, man, it's God's warfare. I got a song here. Let's sing it. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But in my adversity, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at my hurt. So you'll often see the wicked opening their mouth against the righteous. Oh, yeah. Psalms 109. For the mouth of the wicked, there's his mouth again, and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. This is a way you do not want to have a wide mouth. You want to have your mouth open wide for God to give you wisdom. But you do not want to have your mouth open wide to persecute the righteous, to falsely accuse the righteous. Now, that's an easy one for wicked people to get out of. They say, I'm mad at them, so they're not righteous. And we all got to stand before God, see. We all got to stand before God. And God's going to sort everything out. But we have to have fear and trembling that we don't misjudge anything. We got to do what we got to do. We got to have responsibility where we got to have responsibility. But the Lord's messages throughout the Gospels, throughout the epistles, is we can so easily be convinced that we have a justification for our wickedness, for our meanness, for our maliciousness, for our unkindness. I'm quick to preach. There's a lot of times. John the Baptist called them vipers. You know that. But we all got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I hope you know what you're doing. There are other ways that you can open your mouth wide other than just false accusation and scorning and slanders. Proverbs 13 says, He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. It's almost like a general truth. If you're always walking around with your mouth open, if you're always got something to say, that might not be good. That might not be good. Even a fool, if he's quiet, people start thinking he has some wisdom. We should have our mouths open wide for holy nourishment. Not to pour out a bunch of folly. Not to always be running your mouth. You hear some of those folks, they can't remember what they're going to go to next. But they always got to have something coming out of their mouth. So they'll just sit there and go, till they think of something else to get mad about. It's like, do you always have to just have something coming out of your mouth? The old preacher said God gave you two eyes. He gave you two ears. But He only gave you one tongue. Let's keep on going through the Bible. Proverbs 21:9, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. There's our next use of the word wide. This is telling you that in general, a wide house is a very comfortable, luxurious, nice thing to have. A lot of times the early churches met at certain people in the church that had a large enough house to have people come meet. It's a blessing to be able to use something that you have for God. Don't compromise to get a wide house. Don't go sell your soul to get a wide house. But the Bible's saying there's something better than having a lot of room in your house. For a man to be able to dwell and come home, even if it's just a small house, and not have contention and not have brawling. Ooh, that is a treasure. That is a blessing. The Bible says if all you had to go rent somebody's corner of a housetop. Up north, I found out when I visited up in New York that a lot of times, people are living in somebody's basement, in a room, a small little room down there in the dark, no windows. They said, yeah, you move here, you can teach guitar over here and pay you a lot of money, and it'll be great. I said, where I got to live? They said, well, you got to pay $1,500. I said, well, what do I get for $1,500? And they took me way down this little corridor, it's dark, there's no windows, and I got to stay in this little room. And I said, do a lot of people live like this? They said, oh yeah, this is actually a pretty nice one. But the Bible's saying that it's better to live like that than to have to put up with a brawling woman. So what could that be telling us? Well, in one sense, it's telling us all not to be contentious. In one sense, it's telling you specifically that it can really be painful for a fella to have a contentious woman always nagging. And I always bring up the fellas that you read in the news, I was collecting them for a while, that jumped off the boat. And they say, why did you do it, man? Why did you jump off the cruise boat? Well, why did you do that? He said, she was nagging me. So you're just going to kill yourself, man? He said, I don't know what I was doing. I just wanted to get away. I just jumped in the water. And the first time it happened, I said, that was very interesting. People must really want to get away from nagging like that. And then all of a sudden I find it out again. Then over here somewhere else. Some in another ocean. And it just keeps happening. People jumping into the water. And each time they say, I was trying to get away from her. She wouldn't quit. So let's not be that way. But there's a bigger thing here. We could look at it as with the Lord. We shouldn't be a contentious church, a rebellious church, with our husband, the church's husband, the Lord Jesus. Are we contentious to Him? But we can look at it even further. If a man's going to get married, he might say, you know what, if I marry her, her dad's rich, and wow, this is going to work out economically. You wouldn't believe, I'm going to have cars. There's some men that marry into boats and cars and big houses, but they forgot one thing. They forgot some basic wisdom of Solomon. They end up with a brat. They ended up with a spoiled brat. And that daddy that gave her to that man, and he thought he was getting a deal, didn't tell him all of the information. When he came and asked her hand in marriage, the dad probably couldn't look him in the eye and said, oh, yeah, you can have her. Yeah, okay, that'll work out. He's like, okay. Well, that worked out all right. Poor dad's shaking his head as he walks away. Oh, boy, I hope he's merciful. I hope he's going to have patience. kind of a bad thing to do. You understand? You know your daughter's a brat. You know you haven't raised her. You know she's selfish. You know she can't follow authority, not even a lick of it. You know she cannot be guided. She cannot be instructed. You cannot disagree with her without her throwing a fit and pouting. And you're going to go give her to somebody? How do you think that's going to work out? In fact, the Bible says, and this is inspired word of God, if you want to know what's wrong with this earth today, there are three things for which the earth is disquieted. Chaos. And for four which it cannot bear. A servant when he reigneth. That's somebody that never learned how to be a leader. That doesn't have leadership quality. Somebody that's just made because of their wickedness and foolishness. And all of a sudden they get a whole bunch of money and an inheritance. Or somehow or another, they say the right thing. Change, change. And the next thing you know, they're elected. They might be smoking crack somewhere. They might be a sodomite. But somehow or another, they're now elected. Man, that's going to disquiet the whole earth, man. They become president. A fool when he's filled with meat. And an odious woman when she is married. God put in our Word of God, the inspired Word of God that He preserved through the blood of the martyrs, that an odious woman, a woman with bad character, a woman that is going to be contentious and brawling and not be led, not be managed, and you get married and you start having kids, if God blesses you with them, whatever the case, you've got chaos, man. I might just one day run as a politician and I'm going to get up there and say, you know what? This isn't true. I'm not going to do that ever. But I'm telling you, I'd like to one day and say, I want to tell you what your problem is. It's these odious women that get married. I'd like to be up there on one of them presidential things and tell them what I think is wrong with America, you see. Amen, amen. So, I guess we could say whether you're brother or sister. If you can't be kind and loving and get along and if you don't want to be obedient to a man, if you said, no man's going to tell me what to do, don't get married. Don't get married. Please. Please. For the future of our country. For the future of any children you might end up with. For the peace of our land. Don't get married. So a lot of it is just they've never been raised. That's why a lot of people are saying, I'm done with America. But the whole world's becoming messed up like this, you know. No respect for authority. And I do try. I try to show you things like some neuroscience studies. I try to help you physically, help you spiritually. It's amazing that just little things in your diet could be changed. And you're like, you know what? I got rid of a lot of temptations. What happened? I want to go hug my husband. I see things totally different now. I'm calm. What happened? I'm like, well, you got your hormones balanced the way they're supposed to be. It just takes a little bit to tweak those things. Some evidence suggests that women, some evidence, that's got to be a joke. You got to be kidding me. But they say some evidence suggests that women who are high in testosterone and low in cortisol show heightened aggression. You don't say. There is some evidence that high levels of estrogen and progesterone are associated with low levels of aggression. You don't say. Just fix it a little bit. And you say, well, that must be witchcraft then. If you could just fix it and all of a sudden the woman's nice. Well, I'm not telling you it's some automatic thing, but I'm telling you, when you take temptation, if somebody can't walk and you've got all this weight on them, and all of a sudden you take the weight off and they're like, hey, I can walk pretty good now. Why are you walking around with your hormones all messed up? God didn't make all of this foreign stuff for you to stick in your body. They talk about fast food. There's 70 ingredients just in a thing of chicken. What are all those things? Nothing you're supposed to be putting in your body? What do you think that stuff's doing to you? They show that women are equal in aggression as men are. They're pretty much equal. Women are aggressive, men are aggressive. It really is equal. You say men are more aggressive. Hey, not anymore. Not anymore. It's equal. Women do surpass men in passive aggression. That is like calling up somebody and slandering your husband, you know, passive aggression, speaking for hours and hours and hours about what somebody did to you, you know, passive aggression. Men usually, since they're stronger, are going to be more violent in their aggression. But I try to show, drink some spearmint tea if you're a lady. Get some sesame seeds. Take some black seed every day. Avoid ERs. I don't mean the emergency room. I mean endocrine disruptors. Find out everywhere they're at and say, I'm done with every bit of this the best I can. And get in the Word of God and pray and see if God doesn't start changing things physically and spiritually. Where else is wide in the Bible? Are y'all liking my little wide study? Matthew 7. Our Lord says, enter ye in at the straight gate. That means narrow, difficult. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. He's talking to disciples. This isn't telling you how to be saved in eternity. Okay? He's talking to salt of the earth, children of your Father, light of the world. He's talking to his saved disciples. He is teaching them, and he's telling them they're already saved. They're already saved in eternity. They're already believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So why is he telling them to enter into some gate? It's the gate of discipleship. It's the gate of kingdom reward. And he's telling you, broad is this way that leads to destruction in this life and at the judgment seat of Christ. Which means there can be terror of the Lord and a destruction in the life of a believer. Although you're not eternally destroyed, you can have destruction in temporary time. And what the Lord is telling you is this. The way that you are to go that's going to bless you does not look wide. When you look at it, it does not look attractive to your flesh. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, because your flesh likes it, but it's the way of death. As a young person, you've got to know, well, I don't want to go that way. It's just like commandments and all this stuff, and I want the fun way. I want the wide way. Well, of course you do. Of course your flesh does. Many there be that take that way. Because straight is the gate. That means difficult, narrow, rigorous. And narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. That's kingdom life. That's millennial life. And that's life in this life. And few there be that find it. Why? Because they said, I don't want reproof. I don't want the fear. I don't want to go to that church. Wait. He preaches about the fear of God and judgment seat of Christ and commandments, and he's, you know, Boy, I tell you what, don't get drunk, you know. Stay away from pornography. Don't be a glutton. Take care of yourself, you know. Don't dress like a harlot. Make sure you're dressing for your gender, you know what I mean? Let's be beautiful and holy for God and be holy and all these things. I don't want to go to a church like that. So I have to make a decision when I started. I could go be rock star. I could continue on that path. Or I can give it all up and preach the Word of God. And then I had to make a decision. The devil said, how about you be the rock and roll pastor? You want to do that? Channel 5 comes into our church. Come see the rock and roll pastor. I said, no, don't want it. Don't want it. I have to make a decision what I'm going to preach. I could preach the broad way or I could preach the narrow way. All you young people have to make a decision. You want to go the broad way? Many there be that do it. You want to finally get of age and get your license, get your car, and take the broad way? There's somebody somewhere, some aunt, some grandma, somebody, some sister, somebody that'll give you a place to live. You want to take the broad way? It's there for you. But there's something about that narrow way. And when you take it, you say, whoa, this looks scary. Are you sure this is the way I'm supposed to be going? Oh my, this is rigorous. And all of a sudden, it starts opening up into the most glorious beauty. And you're like, wow, I'm so glad I went this way. But that other way, you say, whoa, this is beautiful. I'm going this way. Yeah, come on, man. This is great. This is wonderful. And all of a sudden, you get around the corner and you start getting trapped. And it's not as pretty as it was when you started. And pretty soon now, you can't go forward. You can't go back. You're out on a limb somewhere, man. Like, look what the devil did to me. I should have never went this way. Although hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. I don't care if everybody goes your way. Psalms 119, I've seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandments is exceeding broad. That's basically saying this, that all things are vanity. Everything that has to do with man, it looks so good, it looks so pretty, but I've seen the end of it. I've seen that everything man touches without God, you can see the end of it. It's limited. But God's commandments, they're exceeding broad. Oh my, how deep they are, how beautiful, how applicable they are. His wisdom is wonderful. You can't see the end of it. It's unlimited. God is unlimited in His perfection. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity when it has to do with man. But not God's Word. Not God's commandments. The Bible says in Psalm 36, Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. They're broad. It's amazing. I tend to doubt sometimes. God says, Has thou perceived the breadth of the earth? I just wonder if they've really measured it as much as they think they have. But one thing I know they've never measured. Romans 11 says, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Oh, how broad God's wisdom, how broad His truth is. You say, I've read the Bible. I already got all that stuff straight. You haven't even begun to scratch the surface of what God has for you in that Bible. It's like they get a bigger telescope and they find out more stars. They find out millions of more. Millions more. Same in the Word of God. You think you've already scratched the wisdom. You've already ingested all of the wisdom of God. You've got a long way to go, my friend. We all do. We all do. A few more things and I'll close. Psalms 51, O Lord, open thou my lips and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. We ought to open our mouths wide to teach others the truth. We ought to open our mouths wide to receive God's wisdom. And we ought to open our mouths wide to praise God. You ought to come in this church and you say, you know what? My mouth's open wide to receive from the Word of God, but my mouth's also going to be open wide to praise my Lord Jesus. You ought to say, oh, I hope I get to sing today. Oh, I hope I get to magnify God. Oh, I hope I do. And if I can't sing in church, I'm just going to go sing everywhere I go. I go to Walmart and sing. I go to the health food store and sing. I don't care. I'm not even a good singer. I like to sing. I like to... Everybody's telling me, shut up, shut up, shut up. I'm like, I'm just going to sing about the Lord, man. It's better to listen to all that rap mess all around you everywhere. You know what I mean? I like going to the rap dudes and singing Amazing Grace to them, you know, till they roll up their window. I like stopping at a red light and rolling down my window and screaming out Amazing Grace. And finally they turn down their music and take off. You know, we ought to just praise God. Open your mouth and sing, man. Praise Jesus. Ain't that right, Sopak?
Yeah.
Amen, brother. Let's see, what else we want to look at real quick. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Have you been redeemed? Have you been saved? The woman at the well was a bad woman. She got saved. 5 minutes later, she goes into the city and gets a bunch of people saved. 5 minutes after being saved. If you've been redeemed, if you've been saved, tell everybody. Tell your aunt. Tell your uncles. Tell your cousins. Tell everybody. There ought not be a store that they said about the early Baptists that built America. You couldn't pass one on the street without them telling you about Jesus, without them giving you a gospel tract. They called them shouting Baptists because they're always praising God. David says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Your kids ought to say, oh boy, here it comes again. Oh, don't get Dad started. Oh no, here he goes again. Boy, he's going to tell me something else about another story, about something God did. And it ought to be a blessing to you. You understand? It ought to be a blessing to you. You say, that sounds like my dad. You ought to have a preacher for a dad. We can get long-winded, right? Sometimes she can say something and it just puts something in my mind. And I realize I've been talking for 2 hours. She hasn't said nothing. You say, that's just terrible. That's just terrible. Proverbs 31, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth. Open it wide. Judge righteously. Plead the cause of the poor and needy. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Who can find a virtuous woman? You young fellas and older fellas, if you're single, who can find a virtuous woman? God can, but they're going to be rare. For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. That's one of the things about her. The first thing it says is she's trustworthy. He can trust her. He can trust that what she says is true. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now listen to this. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. I think what this is saying is, sometimes I divide it between the virtuous woman and the excellent woman, but when it says many daughters have done virtuously, it's not their character. Anybody can go to church and say, well, yeah, I used to dress good at one time. Yeah, I told the truth once. But is it your character? Is it your character? Are you virtuous? Is that your character? You do it all the time. That's how you live. She does in good all the days of her life. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. That's beautiful. See, you thought I had a lot more, didn't you? The end. Dear Holy Father, we do thank you for your goodness. My Holy Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we thank You for the verses about those things that are wide and broad. Thank You for the lessons, God. May we all get something out of it. May we all examine our lives, Lord, and see what we can do better. Praise You more, God. Feed on Your truth more. Defend the poor more. Give more. And shut our mouth when we're supposed to, God. Oh, we love You, Lord. We thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for this church and these dear people. Thank You for those that hear and listen to us online. God, what a blessing they are, an encouragement. Wherever they're at, Father, meet their needs and answer their prayers and help them, Lord, in their battles in these last days. And may we all speak often one to another, Lord. And when we can, let us all relocate and be part of the same church to whatever degree we can. In Jesus' name, amen.